So here we have one of the shortest parables the Lord ever told. And we know it's an important parable because A, it was the Lord Jesus who told it, but B, it helps us understand the kingdom of heaven. Well, the kingdom of heaven, of course, refers to our final destination, which after the chaos of today, I am more looking forward to than ever. But it is also an explanation as to how and why we would want to get saved in the here and now. Well, we're told the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. It is not treasure hidden in a field, but it is like it. Now, we are living in a nation that from time to time, probably two or three times per year, actually, it will make the news that somebody has found a treasure trove. Or if it's not quite as valuable as a treasure trove, a hoard. And it might be silver, it might be gold, and it does interrupt the usual monotony of our news. And it's mildly interesting. Roman coins, Saxon bracelets have been found, a medieval ring, that kind of thing. And only yesterday, I was walking up a hill around Darwin, and there was a fellow with a metal detector. Now, it might be he was trying to find bottle tops, who knows. But I'm pretty sure he was looking for treasure. And, of course, the law is that you must divide the proceeds with the landowner whose permission you must first obtain. I never checked if the fellow yesterday had the landowner's permission. It's not my business, I'm afraid. But our soil, our fields are often the host of great treasures. Of course, if we knew where they were, we would all be there with our pickaxes and our spades and our shovels. But we don't. And from time to time, they are found. Well, evidently, it was going on at the time of Jesus as well. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. One would wonder why treasure is hidden in any field. If I thought a marauding army was coming, I might bury my treasure. If I expected to go away for a long journey and wasn't quite sure that my neighbours are as honest as I would like them to be, I might bury it in the ground when they're not looking, of course. Well, here we have treasure hidden in a field, which a man found. But look what he does with it. He finds it, and straight away, he hides it. Now, why would he do that? Well, simply finding it doesn't make him the legal owner or keeper of it. I'm guessing property rights back then and now, say if you own the field, it belongs to you. So for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. So imagine this fellow in Darwin yesterday. He finds a treasure trove he knows that if he's going to have legal title to that treasure, he first must own the land in which the treasure is found. And here is a fellow who takes everything that he has already, which presumably is valued at less than the treasure. If it were the other way around, he'd be a foolish fellow, and this would not be like the kingdom of heaven. But he sells everything, he puts it into cash, he goes to the owner of the field and says, "That field over there, I'd like to buy it for no particular reason." And, well, he does buy it. And now he is the owner of the treasure. Now, what on earth has that got to do with the kingdom of heaven? How does that enable us to understand what the kingdom of heaven is like? Well, first of all, salvation in Christ is very much like treasure hidden in a field. Most people will walk on by. Is it nothing to them that walk by? No, it's not. How many people have walked past a chapel or a church where the gospel is preached and they thought nothing of it? On the day of judgment, they will realize what wonderful treasure was theirs for the taking. If only they'd done a little digging. If only they'd gone through the door with an inquiring mind, with an open eye. If only they could have found that treasure. Furthermore, it does require a little bit of effort. The man first digs to find the treasure, then he covers it up again, and then he takes everything he has and he sells it in exchange. And Jesus made it clear that if you were to follow him and become a member of the kingdom of heaven, you must take up your cross and follow him. This is not easy religion. This is not cheap grace. You've got to repent. You've got to repent of all the treasures you've owned so far, and you've got to divest yourself of them in order to take hold of the treasure that is Christ. You cannot take hold of him whilst retaining your grip on the dross of this world. There is, though, another interpretation of the parable. Now, we all imagine that the fellow who goes out to find the treasure is us. And I think that does work as an interpretation. But might there be another way of looking at it? Now, when I became a Christian, I called on the name of the Lord. I asked him to forgive me. I asked him to save me. And he did. But there is another way of looking at it. It was he who drew me to him. Well, which one's true? Well, I believe both. I believe it was he who drew me to himself and enabled me to ask him to save me. Might the second interpretation of the parable be that the man is Christ himself? So the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. Well, if Christ is the man, that would make us the treasure. Are we treasure? Are we valuable? Have we got an inflated sense of who or what we are? Well, let me tell you this evening, you are treasure. Oh, don't get me wrong. You were treasure buried in a field. You were covered in muck and covered in slime. And when you were brought up out of the ground, you had to be washed off and scrubbed and all the rest of it to get the muck out of. But you were made in the image of God. Oh, sure, a little lower than the angels, but you were made for relationship with God. You were made to have dominion on the planet. You were made to enjoy God and to glorify him forever. But because of the fall, we have been buried in the soil. Paul says we are dead in our trespasses and sins, but when we believe in Christ, we are resurrected from the dead. We are brought back to life. His spirit breathes life into us once again. And I believe the second interpretation of the parable is that Christ came to your field and he offered and did indeed dig you out of the muck. He's of course overjoyed when he finds you. Indeed, there was rejoicing among the angels of heaven when you were taken out of that field, when you were brought into possession of Christ himself. But how could Jesus sell all that he has in order to buy the field? Well, he did that as well. The King of Glory took upon himself the nature of a servant. He walked away from the worship of angels, from the splendor of heaven, from the glory of eternity, and he was born into a stinking stable and lived an ordinary life making things out of wood. Indeed, he sold his own life that you might be redeemed from the miry clay. He was sold for 30 pieces of silver. His own body hung upon the cross. His own lifeblood was shed. That filthy treasures might be redeemed from the dust of death. I love this parable, only though it be a verse long, because it both addresses the work of Christ in our salvation. It's he who finds us. It's he who digs us out of sin. It's he who washes us down and possesses us for his own. And yet there is also, I think, an invitation found here. That we too are to do some digging. We are too are to do some exploring. We are to give everything we have to gain Christ, who is worth more than 10,000 worlds put together. You know, once the man bought that field and owned the treasure, no one could take it from him. The owner of the field, the previous owner of the field, he could not come back and say, well, if I'd have known there was treasure in it, I would never have sold it. The opportunity is gone. When Christ takes a man or a woman and saves them and sanctifies them and claims them, he doesn't easily relinquish them. So this evening, I just want to leave you with that very simple explanation of a very simple parable. Christ is the wonderful treasure, and it's worth giving away everything for him. But to you, or to him rather, you are a wonderful treasure. He made you in your mother's womb for relationship with him, and he gave up everything that he might obtain you. Amen.